find our text this morning in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We'll read from verse 39. And he came out, went as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. Kneeling down, he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And so in particular, we shall look at verse 42. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. I want us to meditate, my friends, for a short time on this cup. This cup. We're going to partake of a cup today, but it's not this cup. Not this cup. It's the cup. This is the cup that he took, so that we might have this cup. Today, he took our place and he took the cup that we should have drunk. Perhaps you've heard stories of the war. There's one young man who went away to fight for his country, was in the Royal Navy and in the submarine command. He went off, there were 10 in the crew, and he set sail to fight for king and country. And he was a young Christian man, but the submarine was damaged, hit, sank to the bottom. And the commander of the submarine said, lined up the men. And he said, there's a way of escape. And the way of escape is for us to enter through a hatch into a compartment. And when the compartment is flooded, you will be taken to the surface. But in the process, the submarine will begin filling with water. He said, there's enough air in this vessel for 9 of us to be saved. One must remain behind. That young Christian man stepped forward. He said, Captain, I'm a Christian. I'm ready to die. The others can go. And one by one, these men were taken up to the surface and saved. And when each of them got home, they told the story of the man that died in their place. Have you got a story to tell of the man who died in your place? Is that what you believe? Can you say that when he there suffered and died on that cross, you can say, that is the man that died in my place? That's why we're here today, isn't it? And that's why we need to study and identify more closely how it is that that's our place that he took, as he willingly said, thy will be done. As he began to drink of that bitter cup. I want to use, as these disciples were sleeping, the Master was praying. What was he praying? Oh, we know that he overheard this brief word of repetition. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But much was said while they, which they did not hear. How can we know what it was? I believe we can know by going to that chapter in Isaiah. For our Savior knew it. And the more that he looked at that chapter, the more he saw himself. And the more he realized, this is my cup. This is the cup. So when he got to Gethsemane, that place of the olive press, he had this interview with his Father about the cup. And I believe it was going through this chapter, at least the contents of this chapter, that he was discussing with his Father during that agonizing hour. And so look at the first draft, for we're told that he prayed 3 times. So let's look at the first draft of that cup that he had to drink. He could say to his Father, am I to be despised? Am I your holy son? Am I to be despised? I've healed the sick. I've cleansed the lepers. I've fed the 5,000. I've delivered the gracious words from my mouth. I've finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now I'm to be despised. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. Is that the right treatment for me? And we can hear the Father saying these words, as the Son said, should I not be acknowledged? Should I not be credited? Is it not right? Is it really necessary for me to now be treated with this scorn and shame? It's a verse that comes to my mind in 1st Epistle of John in chapter 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. He might well say, Father, if they will only acknowledge me, they will acknowledge you. Why then must I be despised? And of course, the answer was this. If you are not despised, I cannot acknowledge them. If you are not despised, I cannot acknowledge them. There's a necessity. Here we have the necessity of the atonement again and again. If you are not despised, I cannot acknowledge them. And so he said, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I will drink this cup. I will be despised for their sake. Do you feel that today, friend? You are acknowledged. You cannot be acknowledged except that he was despised. You owe him that. When you came forward, you were acknowledged before God and men because he was despised. But this cup included this. He was despised and rejected. He came to offer himself. He said to his Father, I've come and I've offered myself. Why should I be rejected? What's wrong with my offering that I should now be rejected? I want to be accepted. I want to be accepted by my people, by the world. For this cause came I into the world. That's what it's all about, to be accepted. So that the world may accept me. That's what I long for and crave for, if only to be accepted. And now you say, you friends know why he had to be rejected. Because you should be rejected. There's no way you should be accepted by the Father. You've done so much to earn that refusal. Your whole life doesn't reach the mark. Even your Christianity, even your best works, they don't measure up. They should be rejected. In some factories, there's a very close inspection made, and unless that piece of machinery and equipment passes to the very highest standards of perfection, it's thrown aside. Many of these carefully produced instruments or parts, the end of the scrap heap. That's where you should be today. That's where I should be. How is it that you've accepted? Because the most perfect one, the most flawless, blameless, spotless one, took rejection as your substitute. And in that cup was this also. Acquainted with grief. Do you know anything of grief? Perhaps you've lost one that you still long for. It pains your heart at this moment, this day, to be reminded of that one and of the grief of that parting. My friends, your grief doesn't compare with his grief. You are to be acquainted with grief, even as he prayed in agony. His disciples couldn't watch 1 hour. They wouldn't. They failed. What a heartbreak. Spending 3 years patiently training them, preparing them for apostleship, and then in the hour which demanded their faithfulness, they forsook him. Father said, you must know that too. Oh, said the Son, does it not say that the Messiah will be acquainted with joy and mirth? He shall come, says Psalm 45, with joy and mirth on every side. And of the gladness. Where is that gladness? Oh, my son. That is their gladness. But they cannot have it without your grief. Because that is their grief. That you must drink. And he said, I'm willing. And he rose to his feet. And he went back to these three for whom he was suffering and agonizing. There they were. He findeth them sleeping. How often, my friends, has the Lord found you sleeping spiritually? How often has he been disappointed with you? How often have you failed to be what you should have been? Watch and pray, he says. Because his cup is not empty. He has to go back because there's more to drink. He goes back the second time and prays the same prayer. And he remembers that word. He was wounded. He was wounded. Father, you know this body of mine. He grew up before him as a tender plant. How sensitive it has been for me to face the cruelty, the pain of this walk. Foxes of old, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. These nights are spent in prayer. This body of mine is worn out. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? The Father says, no. You have to be wounded. You have to be cut. And you have to bleed. Every drop of blood, you must be wounded. Why? Wounded for their transgressions. Their transgressions are costing you this. Their breaking of your commandments, of our holy commandments, that they've learned from their infancy, their breaking of the Sabbath, their breaking of the truth, their failures in worship, their idolatry, their love of the things of this world, their coveting what others have. It's all got to be paid for. And the price is wounds and blood. Are you willing? He said, I'm willing. Can you think of it, friends? He said, for their sakes and for their salvation, I'm willing. But no, that's not the end. He was bruised. You must be bruised. Father, is it true? Is it not enough to be wounded? No, to the Father. It will please me to bruise you. Father, my Father, is this what you're doing to me? Yes, son. I must do it, and I will do it, and I'm pleased to do it. And he said, Father, your will, not mine. Why must we be bruised? Why must he be bruised? So that you can be bound up. He knows how you have been bruised, how your soul and body and heart have been bruised by your sin, how you suffered like this, and there's no binding up. With the tender ministry of forgiveness, without his body taking that bruising from you, his wounds he tenderly upbinds. Why should he do it? Why not leave you, like the priest and the Levite, to die? And to suffer, no. He tenderly upbinds us by taking the bruising. Oh, Father, I think that's enough. No. You must be chastised. You must be whipped and lashed till that body of you, that back of yours, is stripped to the bone. With the skin hanging. Must I go so far? The Father said, yes. You must be chastised that they may be anointed. You must be chastised that they may be anointed. This is what it says. With his stripes we are healed. And it's not physical, it's spiritual healing, is it not? Have you sometimes passed days feeling the guilt of your sin and saying, there's no cure for me. There's no salvation for me. There's no heaven for me. My sins are too deep. As one man in Barbara said in the revival, hell is too good for me. Jesus, friends, had to be chastened because he wanted you to be healed. He wanted you to find a salve, a balm in Gilead for your sin-sick soul. And this the way of curing. As many medicines are prepared with pain, sometimes animals are killed, sometimes experimental animals are sacrificed in the laboratories so that some wonderful cure can be supplied for your heart failure or your kidney failure. What you owe to them, but friends, this is soul failure. This is soul failure, but there's an oil. This oil comes from this loving acceptance by Christ of your chastening. Luther whipped himself with whips because his conscience cried out about his unholy offenses before a righteous God. But he rose from that bleeding self-lore when this word came to him, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the blood of Christ. He said, Father, chasten me. And after that second draft, he rose. He went back. He said, surely they're praying. Don't they know I'm going to be wounded? Don't they know I already feel that chastening? Don't they know the rejection? No. They didn't know. They were sleeping. Friends, why are we sleeping? Are we not wide awake in our souls to what he endured? Shouldn't we be alive to what he suffered? He had to go back again. He had to suffer more for them. So he came to this final draft. This is what it says. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And it says later on, he was afflicted. Here he sees this word crushed. As you know, that place of Gethsemane was the very word Gethsemane means olive press. This is where the olive berries were taken off the tree and they were pushed into this machine and a clamp was put over and a heavy stone was put down and a great pressure was applied to that basin, that container. And while the pressure increased and increased, the olives were crushed and smashed, and the oil, that beautiful smooth oil, issued from the crushed berries. That oil that could heal wounds. That oil that could anoint and gladden the heart. That's the only way. That was the only way the oil could be supplied. Couldn't without the crushing to pieces of these olives. And here is this olive being crushed. And he said to the Father, if you're willing, if you're only willing, let this cup, let it pass from me. Can you blame him? You see, he was human just like you, with that body and soul that you and I have. Although he was the divine, eternal Son of God, he had to suffer in his humanity, body and soul. And now it comes to the crushing. And as you might say, well, hasn't it been enough? Sometimes when the old people used to make cheeses, they would apply something like that, a pressure, a heavy weight, and the cheese would sweat until it had reached the required consistency to be a useful and pleasant food for us. Now this is what we need. This is what we need here in Luke. We read that being in an agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It was pressed through the sweat pores of his forehead and his skin, the blood of his agony. It's a proven fact that people in extremes of stress and agony will sweat blood. Great drops of blood fell to the ground. He was crushed of their friends. His soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. That he might say, "Father, do you not want to lift me? Have you not promised to exalt me?" And the Father said, "Yes, I've promised, but first you must be abased. First you must be crushed. And then you, with these people for whom you're crushed, will be exalted. They will be there with you at God's right hand." And so he said, "Father, not my will, thy will be done." Crushed, oppressed, oppression or persecution. Just read what it says about this oppression. They came with their staves and their swords. They came with their ropes to bind him. They dragged him roughly up to Jerusalem before to be handed over to the high priests to be scoffed and mourned and accused at and to be accused of blasphemy. He was taken before Herod to be questioned by that wicked usurper and tyrant. He was taken before Pilate to be treacherously betrayed with a mockery of justice. He was taken before the soldiers to be mocked and spat on and bowed in mockery. He was taken out and stripped and given a cross to carry. Oppression, 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 relentless oppression. Why, friends? That's what you have done. We are there among that crowd. Our sin has taken us there to join in the mockery. We have mocked him every time we sin. We have spat upon him. You are guilty. I am guilty. And he said, "Yes, Father, I'll take it all. I'll drink it. I'll drink it all. That they might be released." Think of Barabbas. Set free that hour the very man that deserved everything that was coming to him. As the thief on the cross said, "We indeed justly receive the reward of our deeds." And Barabbas is looking up and saying, "Yes, look at that man in my place, receiving the due reward of my deeds, and I'm free." He's taken it. "I find no fault in this man." He said to the Father, "Yes, I'll do it." He was afflicted, we're told. He was afflicted. And of this, we remind another part in Isaiah which says, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted." But he said, "Father, I've finished the work you gave me to do. Isn't it now the time not for affliction, but acclamation? Where is the credit for all that I've done? Where is the justice in all of this? Wouldn't it be glorious if I was now accepted as the Messiah? Didn't I come riding on the ass, the foal of the ass? Didn't they cry, Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord? Now it's all turned sour. Why should it be like this? Well, it's the people. It's the people you've got. It's the people you've claimed as your own. It's the people that you chose along with me before the foundation of the world. They're the cause of this. They're the cause of this cup. They're the price of this pain. But she says, but Father, I love them. I love them. Is there anything more I could do? He said, yes, you must be afflicted. You must be broken. You must go all the way. You must die the death. You must know the pains of hell. And he said, I am willing. Do you appreciate your Savior today, friends? Do you appreciate that willingness? Will you remember it all your life? Are you longing to be there in heaven to say, worthy is the Lamb, to receive blessing and honor, glory and power? For he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let us pray. O gracious God, we give thee thanks that we've been able to visit Gethsemane, see our Savior and his agonies of love to buy his bride. What a dowry he paid for his church and his people. How can we be worthy of such love? Love that bought us with such pain and wounds and oppression and rejection and sorrow. Oh, what a Savior. In my place condemned, he stood. Grant us, Lord, to remember his death until he comes.